إله إلا الله.
You're listening to ebuzz.com.
محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام.
الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ورحمتي وسعت كل شيء فسأكتبها للذين يتقون ويؤتون الزكاة والذين هم بآياتنا يؤمنون. وقال تعالى: للفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا. وقال تعالى: قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى والله غني حليم. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders and brothers, the topic that we have for today's talk is concerning charity. Now obviously this is a very important topic, and added to this importance is the fact that in Ramadan, by and large, many people, they tend to discharge the obligations, the financial obligations, from the religious and the spiritual point of view. And I thought that it would be an appropriate topic for this time of the year. Charity, as we are aware, is a very important part, an integral part of Islamic teachings. And now there are various types of charity. And the most important type of charity, if we could call it such, or the most important obligation upon us in terms of our finance, in terms of our wealth, is the one that is compulsory, and that is zakat, which is compulsory upon Muslims who have a minimum threshold with regard to a certain amount of wealth. I'm not going to go so much into the details of the masail of zakat. Obviously those who do have and have to fulfill the obligation should consult the ulama and the learned if they have any specific or any particular type of queries in this regard. However, on a general level, on this aspect with regard to zakat, the importance of it is greatly emphasized in the Quran and Hadith. The phrase aqimu salat wa atu zakat, establish your salat and give zakat, is mentioned many a times in the Holy Quran. Together with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made mention of zakat in many other places. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, my rahmat and my mercy encompasses everything. فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا, but it is specific or more exclusive or more focused towards those yattaqoon وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, who fear Allah and who give zakat. Yet again in the 17th juz of the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ إِمَّكَّنَّاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَعَاتَهُ الزَّكَاةِ, that the believers, when they gain authority on the earth, one of the first things they would do after gaining authority would be they would establish the salat and they would establish the system of zakat. Together with that, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in a hadith, إِنَّ تَمَامَ إِسْلَامِكُمْ أَن تُعَدُّوا زَكَاةَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. This hadith appears in Musnad al-Bazzar. The Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, the completion of your Islam is in the giving of zakat. Which means that if you do not give zakat, your Islam is not complete, nor is it perfect. We are also aware of the hadith Bunya al-Islamu ala khams, that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Islam rests upon five pillars, and one of the significant pillars among those five is the giving of zakat. Now after understanding some of the importance and some of the quotations, let us further go on and say that what is the meaning of zakat? The word zakat comes from the root word which literally means purification. What is the root word of of the word zakat. Zakat comes from a root word. The literal meaning is purification. Now the question is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refer to zakat as a purification? The ulama have given various reasons. Let us make mention of one or two of them. One of them is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has termed this obligation as zakat, which the literal and the root word is purification, in that it purifies the person's wealth after he has given zakat. That whatever he has given zakat, after giving zakat, the remainder of his wealth, it is purified for him to use. And this has been corroborated in another statement of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which appears in Tabrani Sharif, that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Inna Allah lam yafrid al-zakat." Allah has not made zakat for us, illa liyutayyiba ma baqiya min amwalikum, but to purify the remainder of your wealth. Right? So if you give zakat, it becomes permissible for you to utilize the remainder of your wealth. The converse of it is also true, that if you do not give zakat, there is also this aspect that the remainder of your wealth also becomes tainted. And this has been also made mention in another hadith, which Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Hazrat Mu'ana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi has made mention of his in Fazail al-Sadaqat, "Man kasaba tayyiban khabbathahu man'u zakat." And this is a very great warning. He whose his earnings are halal and it is pure, the failure to give zakat on it makes it impure, regards it and becomes tainted. Now what a great warning, that wealth which you have earned through great amount of striving and difficulty and effort, but you're not giving 2.5% of your wealth in zakat, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, because of you not giving, the remainder of the wealth becomes tainted. So this is one of the reasons why zakat is known as a purification. The other aspect is, the ulama have said, is it purifies us from the tendency of excessive fondness for wealth. And more often than not, one of the root cause of guna and sin and transgression is love for wealth. حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا رَأْسُ كُلُّ خَتِيعَةً أو كما قال, the love of this wealth is a root cause of many evils. So zakat is a purifier to purify us from excessive fondness from wealth. Now one of the beauties of our deen is that it has taken into account and taken cognizance of the benefits of wealth. It has made mention that there are benefits of it. أموالكم التي جعل الله لكم قياما. Allah Ta'ala says in the fourth juz of the Quran in Surah Nisa, this wealth which Allah Ta'ala has made for you qiyam, as a means of your existence. So Allah Ta'ala refers to wealth as a means of your existence. Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith has also on many a times referred to wealth as khayr, as good. Allah has made mention and referred to wealth as good. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Ni'ma al-malu salih lir-rajul salih." Very good is that wealth which is in the hands of a pious person, because he would utilize that wealth in a beneficial manner. Another hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said that there are two people who are worthy of being envious about. And one of them is the person who has been granted wealth by Allah and he utilizes that wealth correctly. So this is the beneficial aspect. But there is also no doubt that wealth has also its negative aspects. And no one who reads this ayat of the Holy Quran can have any doubt with regard to it. Allah Ta'ala says in the Surah Tawbah, in the 10th juz of the Holy Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَلَا يُنْفِقُونَهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ. Those who hoard gold and silver and wealth, and the way Allah Ta'ala says in another place in the Holy Quran, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَهُ. And they feel that their wealth will remain with them forever and forever. And they do not part of portion of that wealth in the path of Almighty Allah. Then give them glad tidings of a severe chastisement and adab that will come upon them. يَوْمَ يُحْمَى عَلَيْهَا فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمُ. The wealth would be made hot in the fire of Jahannam. فَتُكْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَزُهُورُهُمْ. end with that wealth after being made hot in the fire of Jahannam, it would be branded, their faces, their sides, and their foreheads would be branded with that. And Allah will tell them, "Hada ma kanastum." This is what you hoarded in this world. Fadhuqu ma kuntum taknizun. Now taste that which you had hoarded in this world. Obviously from this there is an aspect that wealth could make us feel proud, arrogant, greedy, make us neglect our salat, make us neglect our obligation, make us neglect our obligation to our fellow human beings. It has all these negative connotations. Zakat, when Allah says give zakat, it is a purifier from the negative aspects of wealth. What is amazing in this is, Allah Ta'ala, when He refers to zakat as a purifier, has made mention that it is a purifier not for the recipient, for the person who gives. Let me repeat that again and understand the significance of that. When Allah Ta'ala had said zakat is a purifier, it is not a purifier for the people who receive that wealth, but is a purifier for the person who gives. Now this is very significant, as we will go on to make mention, inshallah. Now another aspect with regard to the zakat is, some modern scholars and contemporary scholars, they, when they look at zakat, they become overawed by the socio-economic benefits of zakat. And undoubtedly there are many benefits of zakat from this aspect, the socio-economic benefits. But they only become focused on that benefit of zakat. They don't go further. And they look at zakat as a just and equitable form of taxation or distribution of wealth. For them it is nothing more than that. And this is very unfortunate. Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayh has addressed this issue very greatly, and he has made mention that those people who only look at zakat as a just and equitable form of taxation have not taken into account the inner dimensions of zakat. That zakat is characterized by such noble qualities like love for humankind, doing it and giving charity with the intention of pleasing Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of coming closer towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sacrifice for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says in taxation, this aspect of iman and ihtisab is missing. And iman is to give something and do something with faith in Allah, and also with the added intention that you are going to get rewarded by Allah. No one gives tax with the intention that Allah is going to reward him, with due respect to the receiver of revenue. I mean, no one really does that. No one gives tax. And in fact, there is always a degree of reluctance and rancor in giving tax. And because one of the reasons is a person knows that the people who have imposed that tax upon him are human beings and mortals like himself. And many a times they also abuse that type of tax. Now just be careful, I'm not giving a fatwa on this particular aspect of tax. But I mean, it's also a fact that no one gives it with great amount of pleasure. Or even if he has to give it, he gives it with reluctance and rancor. And that is why someone had said, the income tax man has spawned more lies than even the golfer. The person with the income tax has even make people spoke more lies than even what the golf person speaks, and the golfer speaks. But this is a reality. But this does not happen in zakat. It should not happen. Therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned amongst the 15 signs of Qiyamah, that amongst the signs of Qiyamah is was zakatu maghrama. That people would regard zakat as a tax. Al-Yadu Billah. May Allah forbid that we regard that as such, and because of that we become the means of Qiyamah even coming closer. So this is a second aspect. That after understanding why it is a purification, let us remember that it is not a tax. The third thing with regard to the beauty of zakat is this, that it is a most beautiful solution of Islam to the perennial problem of the distribution of wealth. Now, for how many years we have been hearing about this problem of the proper distribution of wealth, and then you had the two systems which have been dominant in the past century, capitalism and socialism, communism. They said that they have the proper type of solution to this problem. But in reality, we know what's happening in the world. It is far from a just or correct solution. In fact, the problem becomes more as the gap between the haves and the have-nots increase. You know, this is a situation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by making zakat compulsory, not only making it compulsory, but making mention, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ, in your wealth there is a right of the poor and the needy and the wayfarer and the person who comes to you to ask of you when he is in need. وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ, upon your wealth there is a specific right, لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ, for those who are poor and deprived. By making mention that this in reality, when you give your zakat to them, it is their right. Obviously, it doesn't mean that it must be abused by the people who are receiving it, but that's a different matter. We will go on to make mention. And that is why in Tibrani there is such a beautiful hadith that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said. And before I make mention of this hadith, the solution that Islam has given is a moderate path between two extremes. One extreme is unchecked liberty to amass and do with your wealth how you want, that is prevalent and dominant in capitalism. Or the other extreme, that there is prohibition on private ownership. The beauty of Islam is that it is a moderate path between these two extremes, the two extremes of unchecked liberty of wealth and prohibition of private ownership. That is why Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَىٰ أَغْنِيَاءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, Allah has made faraz upon the wealthy of this ummah such an amount of wealth that if it is given correctly, يَسَعُوا فُقَرَاءَهُمْ, it would be sufficient for the poor of this ummah. This is such a great hadith. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has given that amount of wealth, made that amount of wealth faraz upon the rich of this ummah, that if given correctly, it would suffice for the poor of this ummah. And if there are still poor and poverty-stricken areas, and of course we must understand what is poverty, but we're not talking about luxuries and extravagance, but at least a basic form of living that a person at least has. And if this is, you know, where people are even below the breadline, and if this is happening in the Muslim ummah, amongst the Muslims, then it can only be one of two reasons. Either the rich are not giving their zakat correctly, or either there is not proper distribution of wealth of the zakat. Otherwise, from this hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it clear that Allah has made that amount of wealth compulsory upon the rich that would suffice for the needs of the poor. Another aspect with regard to zakat is this, that one of the distinctive aspects of zakat is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has specified and determined the recipients. Now this is a very great benefit from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this ummah. He has not left it open to the clergy or to the imam or to the maulana that he must be able to determine who must gain and receive zakat. It has been determined by none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are 8 recipients of zakat which Allah ta'ala has made mention of in the 10th juz of the Holy Quran, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ. Now one of the benefits of this is that it is not open for corruption, or the chances of corruption are less. Now we understand the importance of this when we try and compare it with a similar system that it was in vogue by other religious groups. And of course Christianity had the system of the tithe system. The tithe system, according to the Christians, was that 10% of the wealth of the people, the Christians, used to be taken automatically from their savings. And it used to be used for the church, for the clergy, and then the poor in that order. The church, the clergy, and then the poor. It led to such widespread abuse, and obviously the abuse is quite apparent, because the first two recipients took so much that it never trickled down to the third recipient. That it was all used by the church and the clergy, it never got down to the poor. So what you had was that because of this widespread abuse, the tithe system was abolished in France after the French Revolution, and it was abolished in the United Kingdom as late as 1936. Now this is one of the reasons is because there was no determination of who. Here the beauty of Islam is that no, it cannot be used for administrative purposes, it cannot be used for buildings, it cannot be used for mosques, it cannot be used for the remuneration of the person who might be serving the community. And the reason for it is clear, that if it was going to be used for this, people would have put up grand palaces, would have put up great amount of wealth in the masjids and the administration offices, that very little would trickle down to the poor. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said, you know, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ, The word lam, according to the ulama, is lam litamlik. It is for the sake of making the poor the owner of that wealth. He must be given. He must take that wealth and utilize it what he sees best for his needs. Obviously, we've got to keep in mind about abuse, but this is the general principle. And this is the reason why, despite widespread corruption in Muslim countries, which has reached almost endemic type of proportions, and we don't need to go into an elaboration with regard to it, by and large, the system of zakat has remained relatively free from corruption because of this distinctive aspects of zakat. That's the third aspect with regard to zakat. Another aspect with regard to it, and also let me make mention that if this is the case, and when people give to organizations or the agents to give them zakat, I think it is only fair that they also add lillah money for the sake of the distribution of that zakat money. I mean, it stands to reason. You giving someone zakat, you say that according to the Sharia, he cannot use it for administrative purposes. Now, there is going to be cost involved in getting people remunerated for their services in finding out who are the poor in distribution of that zakat. Now, for the sake of your faraz and your religious obligation, someone else is doing it, and you even taken the liberty of giving extra lillah money so that it can be accommodated and it could be made easy for them to distribute the zakat. So I would suggest that when people give their zakat, they also give a relevant or fair amount of lillah money worth it, so that the organizations can utilize that money for the proper distribution of the zakat. Let me also make mention that the ulama have written, you see, zakat at the end of the day is the responsibility of the person who is giving. It's not the responsibility of the organization. The organization is there to facilitate or make it easy. But at the end of the day, it's a responsibility of the person, the donor. And that is why the ulama have written that if the agent or the organization that you give zakat to must appropriate your zakat. Now, obviously, there is a guna and sin for them who does so. Our Hazrat Mawlana bin Nuri rahmatullahi alayhi used to advise people who take public money. He used to give such a great advice. He say, people would give their public money to you, and if they are sincere, they will go to Jannah. You should advise the people who take public money that people who will give their money to you in sincerity, and maybe due to their sincerity, Allah will make them go to Jannah because of the sincerity. He said it would be very unfortunate if you then utilize that money in a way that makes you worthy of Jahannam. Understand? People will give you their money with sincerity. Now you abuse it. Aliyadu billah, you become worthy of Jahannam by utilizing the sincere money of someone else. But at the end of the day, the fatwa is, that if an agent or an organization must appropriate your zakat is not discharged. You have to discharge it again. Because at the end of the day, it's still your responsibility. So therefore, people must take great amount of care who they are entrusting their zakat money to. Otherwise, despite the fact that people must appropriate it, they will be held responsible for it, but your zakat would not be discharged. Another aspect, and I think I will just conclude with this before we go to the next portion of the talk, is that the ulama have written, to show our willingness to give zakat, one should give zakat even before it is due. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of this. He said, for example, our zakat is going to be due next year, Ramadan. After giving it this year, Ramadan, of course, we also got to keep in mind that it is not compulsory to give in zakat, although there are added benefits in giving zakat in Ramadan. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever does any act of faras, Allah multiplies it 70 times. But of course, in doing so, we should see that we don't miss out on any zakat that is compulsory upon us. That is important. We do it in such a way that we see to it, perhaps if zakat was compulsory upon you in Muharram, and you want to give it now the next year, Ramadan, there is a couple of months that you have not given zakat. But as far as possible, just see to it, even if you're doing in giving in zakat in Ramadan, you do not miss out on any amount that you have to still give to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But just to give this example of Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakaria and Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has also made mention of this, and that is that, for example, next year Ramadan, there is going to be a specific amount that is compulsory upon you. Let us say, for example, it is 20,000. During the course of the year, whenever you find worthy recipients, give them that zakat with the intention that this is for next year's zakat. So when the time comes next year, you do your calculation. And if your calculation proves that you have to give 20, and in the course of the year you have given 10, you say, I will give another 10. And if in the course of the year you have given more, you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you the ability to give even more than what is compulsory upon you. These are just few aspects with regard to zakat. Let us now go further on other aspects with regard to charity. Now we must keep in mind that, you know, zakat is the lowest limit for the expression of human sympathy from the financial point of view. It is not the ultimate. It is the very lowest limit. Beyond, lower than that you can't go. But beyond that you have been encouraged to go by the Sharia. Below that you cannot go. Beyond that you have been encouraged to go by the Sharia. For example, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, inna fil mali haqqan siwa zakat. Verily upon your wealth there are other considerations other than zakat. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, lan tanalul birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. You cannot achieve closeness to Allah until you spend of that which you love. And of course in the Fazail Amal, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of the incident of Abu Talha Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who loved an orchard tremendously, biriha. But when this ayat was revealed, he came to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, O Prophet of Almighty Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded that we give of that which we love. I have no greater love in terms of material possessions than this orchard that I possess. Because Allah has given this command, I give it out in the path of Almighty Allah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa took the orchard and distributed it amongst the poor of Medina. And included in that some of his own relatives. So this is Muhammad ibn Hayyan, rahmatullah alayhi, the famous scholar had said that since pre-Islamic times, nobody could achieve respect or status in our society unless he was known to feed the poor and be generous to his guests. Generosity is very close to our Islamic ethics. A person who is generous according to the hadith, he is close to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam acknowledged generosity even if it was done by a non-Muslim. And of course, a very famous example of this was Hatim Tai, who was known for his generosity even before Islam. Like he passed away before, many ulama feel that he passed away even before Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood. And when his daughter was taken captive, and she came in the courtyard of Madinah al-Munawwara in Masjid al-Nabawi, and she was in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw her without a scarf. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent his shawl and told her to cover her hair. And after telling her to cover her hair, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know that she was the daughter of Hatim Tai. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, go, I am freeing you because of the generosity of your father. Because your father was generous in pre-Islamic times, I'm freeing you because of the generosity of your father. And she said that, no, I will not accept freedom until my whole tribe is also freed with me. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are the true daughter of your father. You have also have the same generous spirit. And then Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, go, I free you because of your father's generosity, and I free your tribe because of your generosity. So Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam appreciated generosity of people. And this is something that we should always keep in mind. Al yadul ulya khairum min yadis sufla. The hand that gives is better than the hand that receives. Now, amongst the benefits of that, now let's just also very briefly, after understanding zakat, very briefly to make mention of other forms. You know, we have different forms. Here in our own community, we have different terminologies. We normally say sadaqah, and then we say kafara, then we say fidya. Kafara basically is expiation for certain deeds that you have committed, which might not be correct, and you do it as an expiation for that. For example, you take an oath, and after taking an oath, you don't go according to that oath. Allah Ta'ala makes mention, فَكَفَّارَتُهُ إِتْعَامُ عَشْرَةِ مَسَاكِينَ مِنْ أَوْسَطِ مَا تُطْعِمُونَ. Go and feed 10 people an average meal. Now that is kafara. Another aspect with regard to something very similar is fidya. Fidya is what is known, the literal meaning is ransom, and it is a recompense. And many times it is used, in our community it is used, with some justification. It is used that when a person cannot keep fast, then he gives some sort of amount because he cannot give fast. Let me just make mention in passing, the ulama have made mention that only that person who is so ill, so sick, or so advanced in age, that he feels that he would not recover from his illness. The normal experience shows that he would not be able to recover from that illness. He only, is allowed to give fidya. If a person has a temporary type of sickness, where he feels that I'm young, Allah Ta'ala will still cure me, inshallah. The normal experience say that maybe he would be cured, he is still young. Then for that person there isn't fidya. For that person there is qaza. He has to make up those rozas. You know, sometimes we get away with it. A woman said that I'm not feeling well, I'm about to give birth, so give fidya on my behalf. No, it's not permissible. If she is going to be in a position in later, in the course of the year to fast, she must give qaza, she cannot give fidya. So this is kafara, fidya. Sadaqah is normally referred to a nafil type of charity. Now, you know, we usually in our terminology, we use sadaqah wajibah and sadaqah nafilah. Sadaqah means that sadaqah which a person makes compulsory upon himself, not because of compulsory from the Sharia. Like for example, he might say that if something happens, I take an oath that I would give 2,000 rand to the poor. Now that becomes wajib upon him by him taking an oath. That becomes wajib. But the word sadaqah refers both to wajib type of charity and to nafil type of charity, which we sometimes refer to as lillah. This is also another important point that we can make mention. Now very, very great benefit has been made mention in the hadith about giving charity, just general charity and sadaqah, especially the charity which is not zakat. Zakat, obviously, we have made mention of one or two aspects. Amongst the benefits is protection. The ulama have said, it comes from the hadith, that a person who gives charity, nafil charity, is protected from calamities. Rafi bin Khadij radiallahu anhu narrates a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, charity locks 70 doors of evil. In the time of eclipse, the eclipse of the sun in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people for the first time saw this phenomena, they were overcome by fear and anxiety. In Bukhari Sharif, mention is made that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when you see anything that makes you fearful or anxious, then say takbir, Allahu Akbar, perform salat and give charity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, even heal your sick by giving charity. Now it doesn't mean that you must not take the other normal means, but together with that is also a means, give charity through the means of charity. Many a times, you know, sometimes or at least sometimes people's sickness has been cured. Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, very famous scholar of hadith, someone came to him and said that for years I have a problem with my knee and I have tried all types of medicine, it has not been able to grant me any relief and cure. So Imam Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah told him, go and dig a well for the poor people who don't have water. Inshallah, through the means of that, Allah Ta'ala will cure you and relieve you from your illness. This is authentically made mention with regard to the amal of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi, who was a very, very famous scholar. Together with that, there is great reward in charity. There is such a beautiful ayat in the Holy Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, مَنْ دَلَّذِي يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرَضًا حَسَنًا فَيُضَاعِفَهُ لَهُ أَضْعَافًا كَثِيرًا. Who will lend to Allah alone, so that Allah will multiply it manifold and Allah Ta'ala will repay it back to him. Imam Ibn Jassas rahmatullah alayhi, the famous Mufassir, had said and explained, Allah has regarded charity as a loan to show that the reward for the person who has given the charity is a right owed to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who can be more truthful in settling claims than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah referring to it as a loan, it is a clear indication that Allah ta'ala says, I will give it back to you. وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, whatever you spend in the path of Almighty Allah, فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ, He would give it back to you, says Allah in the Holy Quran. And in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, Allah accepts charity with his right hand. And of course, Allah is free from bodily organs, but to make us understand, Allah accepts charity with his right hand and he nurtures it for you until it comes to the size of a mountain. The way you nurture your foal or your calf. Now, people who look after animals know when the animal is small, with great care they nurture that animal, so that it can become big and become productive and beneficial for them. This example has been quoted by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When you give charity, Allah nurtures your charity to the extent that He makes it grow, that it comes up into a mountain. Yahya ibn Ma'ad, the very famous scholar, had said, I know of no grain that will outweigh the mountains except the grain that is given in charity. Another aspect with regard to charity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our earnings blessed. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah destroys interest. Another hadith, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, interest, no matter how plentiful it may seem, the end result of it is nothing but poverty. And Allah ta'ala increases charity. That even if you feel that your wealth has been decreased, but by the command and proclamation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your wealth is being increased by Allah. And now one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُصْبِحُ الْعِبَادِ فِيهِ إِلَّا مَلَكَانِ يَنْزِلَانِ. Every morning Allah sends two angels deputed by Allah to make two specific du'as. One comes down at the time of the rising of the sun and makes du'a, اللَّهُمَّ آتِ مُنْفِقًا خَلَفَهُ. Oh Allah, the person who spends in your path, give him more barakah. اللَّهُمَّ آتِ مُمْسِكًا تَلَفَهُ. The other one makes this dua, oh Allah, the one who hoards, destroy his wealth. Allahumma aati munfikan khalafa. Oh Allah, give more to the one who spends. And oh Allah, destroy the wealth of the person who hoards. And I think I made mention of it once that, you know, this thing is also very, very amazing. You know, sometimes a person who used to give a lot of charity, and after he used to give a lot of charity, his son came out of university as an accountant. And he came and he saw his father giving so much charity and he said, oh my father, this thing doesn't work. If you're going to give so much charity, our business is going to go flat. After a couple of years, and then he drew up an analysis and he said, so much amount of percentage we make profit, out of that you are giving so much charity, anyone that comes, you just give and you just give, you don't think. And after this, look at this forecast, look at this analysis. After a while, after 3-4 years, our business is going to be in difficulty. Father said, oh my son, all right, that is your type of accounting. You have learned from the university, I have learned from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a specific type of accounting. So the first son said, then explain to me this accounting. He said, oh my son, look at the animal kingdom. Out of the animal kingdom, tell me who gives more birth, right? The sheep or the dog? I won't make mention of the female dog, what it is known, be as it may. The female dog or the sheep, which gives more birth at one time? The son said, obviously, the dog. The dog, when it gives birth, is a litter of puppies. The sheep only gives birth to one. He said, you understood this? He said, yes, I understood this. He said, after this, understand now, out of the two, which of the two animals are more utilized by human beings and is more productive? So he said, obviously, the sheep. There are thousands, if not millions, that has been slaughtered. And I don't know, in Ramadan also sometimes with the Muslims, instead of becoming decreased, it becomes increased also. Meat is even consumed more. But be as it may, what he said, that out of the two, which is used more? He said, the sheep. The sheep is slaughtered by the millions, people are consuming it, and people are eating it, and various type of delicacies. The dog, no one slaughters. So he said, oh my son, which of the two animals are more in the world? According to your accounting, there's supposed to be more dogs. But according to my type of analogy and accounting, there are more sheep. This is my accounting. The more you give, Allah Ta'ala makes more barakat. So this is our type of analogy which Allah Ta'ala says, yurbi sadaqat. I increase charity. You see, this is something that is part of the iman bil ghaib. Now, after understanding some of these benefits of charity, let me also make mention one of the other aspects with regard to charity is the charity as a means of protection from the punishment of the fire of Jahannam. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, اتَّقِ النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشَقِّ تَمْرَةِ. What a beautiful hadith. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if it be to the extent of giving one date in charity. Even if it be to the extent of giving one date in charity, save yourself from the fire of Jahannam. That means even those who do not have great amount of wealth, let them have some sort of generous and charitable spirit and give something. Save yourself from the fire of Jahannam, even if it be one date that you have. Give that date. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done many things as sadaqah. One day he told the sahaba, it is compulsory upon you to give charity for every lump in your body. Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't have so much wealth. Sahaba were by and large not people who were, you know, affluent and very wealthy. Ya Rasulullah, we don't have. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, sadaqah and charity has many dimensions. If you help another person, and you lead a blind person across the road, that is charity. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam further said, you tell someone a good word, that is charity. And O my Sahaba, if you don't have anything much, smile to your next Muslim brother. That smiling, although it is free, and yet people still can't give it, you know, even if it is free, then at least smile to your next Muslim brother, that is charity. Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to release the depth of goodness within the Muslim community. Come to the aid and assistance of other people. You don't have wealth, utilize and help him in some other way. If you can't do that, at least smile upon him. Don't frown to him, at least smile. That will be your charity to the person. You might light up a person's day by smiling to him in a broad manner. As I said, despite it being free, people also are niggardly and miserly with regard to something that is free. But so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made, comes in a hadith, many ahadith makes mention. On the day of Qiyamah, the people whom you have helped financially will intercede on behalf of the person who had helped them. There was comes in one hadith, Fazail al-Sadaqat, Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Ali has made mention, a person who used to be generous will be taken into the fire of Jahannam, and the poor people will see him, and they will intercede and said, Ya Allah, how is it possible? This person helped us, we are going to Jannat and he is going to Jahannam. Ya Allah, we intercede on his behalf that you take him out of this punishment and put him into Jannah. So charity is a means of protection from the fire of Jahannam. And another aspect, before we go to the next portion of our talk, is, you see, one of the beautiful aspects of charity is that we should give it at a time when we are also in need of wealth. One day, Nabi Islam, the Sahaba also used to ask amazing questions. He came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, Ayyu sadaqati a'azam? Which sadaqah is most rewarding and most great in the eyes of Allah? And look at the reply, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Anta sadaqa wa anta sahihun shahihun taqshal faqr wa ta'amulul ghina. You give sadaqah when you also are desirous of wealth. You also fear poverty. You also fear poverty. If I give too much, some things, you know, might happen. And you also fear poverty. You also desirous of wealth. And that's the time when you give, it is more rewarding. Wala tumhil. Don't wait to such an extent. Now you are about to die. One leg is in the bucket, the other is on the banana peel. Then you say, إذا حتى إذا بلغت الحلقوم, when your life comes to your neck, and you say, لِفُلَانِ كَذَا لِفُلَانِ كَذَا, give so much to this masjid, give so much to this particular organization. The first one is far greater in reward. Give when you also desirous of wealth, you also fear poverty, then instead of waiting till the last moments of your life, and then you want to give charity. So these are some of the aspects with regard to the benefits of nafil charity. Now coming back to another important aspect is with regard to the recipients of our charity. Now there are various, I think the first thing that we made mention about is zakat, and those recipients are made mention. I won't go into details. Anyone who wants to know, I can refer them, inshallah, to some good reading material on the recipients of zakat. Eight. Let me just sort of make mention. Inna sadaqat lil fuqara wal masakin. Lil fuqara and masakin means those one who does not have anything, or another person who might have wealth but is not sufficient for his needs. Wal masakin. Inna sadaqat lil fuqara wal masakin wal amilin. The amilin means the one who has been appointed by an Islamic authority. Now just keep this in mind that today, you know, everyone claims to be an authority, but sometimes, you know, authority is not something that you can just claim for yourself. It has to be earned. So, you know, many of the ulama say that this only refers to an Islamic government when it gives over and makes certain people in charge of receiving zakat. So, وَالْعَامِلِينَ عَلَيْهَا وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوب. مُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوب means those who are newly have embraced Islam or who are on the verge of embracing Islam. By perhaps giving them financial inducements, you might make them more steadfast upon their deen, or you might make them accept Islam or come into fold of Islam. According to Umar radiallahu anhu, you should say that this was on the days when Islam was weak. Now Islam is strength in numbers. This category is no more as applicable as it was in the earlier days of Islam. But many of the ulama say that if that situation ever comes, that is one of the permissible recipients of our zakat. وَالْمُعَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. Those who want to free themselves from slavery. Once again, something that is not as widespread in the world today the way it was previously. If a person was in slavery and his master used to tell him that if you bring for me 2,000 or 5,000 dirhams or rand, you can be freed. Then to help that person to come out of slavery. Because slavery is not something desired in Islam. So this is another evidence with regard to it. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَالْغَارِمِينَ. A person who is in debt. But again, in debt, we got to see, why was he in debt? Is he in debt because he had a necessity that he had to attend to? An emergency came upon him because of which he became overwhelmed and engulfed by debt? Or was it a debt that came out of pure greed? So a person has great amount of assets, he's got a half a million or 1 million rand worth of assets, but because he wants to now extend his business, so he takes a 2 million rand loan and he goes to a mufti and said, I got 1 million rand assets and I got 2 million rand debts, is it permissible for me to take zakat money? You know, technically it might be, but morally it's not. So we've got to keep that in mind. It must be for a genuine cause that a person becomes indebted. And وَالْغَارِمِ وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ in the path of Almighty Allah. To help people who are going out in the path of Almighty Allah. They would like to devote their time in the path of Almighty Allah, but they don't have the necessary means to help them. You could help them with zakat and وَبْنِ السَّبِيلِ and a person who is a traveler. So these are the 8 recipients made mention of zakat in the Holy Quran. Together with that, there are many other aspects. One of it is to help the deen of Almighty Allah. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرُكُمْ. If you help the cause of Allah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will help you. Helping the cause of Almighty Allah in various ways, in establishing the deen of Almighty Allah, in printing kitabs, in giving to organizations who are doing good work, in for the sake of those who are giving in da'wah. You know, these are various aspects with regard to establishing the deen of Almighty Allah. And my dear respected brothers, I always like to say that there is nothing more beneficial or more important to us than our deen. Allah, Nabi Umar radiallahu anhu said, نَحْنُ قَوْمُنَ عَذَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation, our destiny and our respect and honor is tied to Islam. If we don't have Islam, we have no respect, we have no identity. This is a fact. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when people complain to him about making jihad against those people who refuse to give zakat, and they said, no, take it easy, there are much more greater fitna. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made that very, very great statement that he says that the deen of Allah must become less while I'm alive, what is the use of my life? In other words, over my dead body, I won't allow this to happen. What is more greater than our deen? For the sake of this deen, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam underwent difficulty. For the sake of this deen, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's blood flowed from his body. And wallah, there can be nothing more valuable ever created by Allah than the dhat and the personality of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's dhat and his personality was put under inconvenience and difficulty for the sake of the deen of Almighty Allah, his teeth were sacrificed, and even a chain and armor went into the cheek of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And what about our contribution? What about our wealth? It stands no comparison to the blood of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So utilize your wealth for the establishment and the propagation and the upliftment of the deen of Almighty Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. I think an important aspect is to utilize our wealth for the upliftment and the upkeeping of our masajid. I feel very strongly with regard to this. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he who builds a masjid for the sake of Almighty Allah, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Abu Majah, Ibn Majah, this hadith comes, he who removes one item of offense from the masjid, Allah will build a house for him in Jannah. You can't build a whole masjid. Even any small contribution for the sake of the house of Almighty Allah, it is rewarded by Allah. And when we look at the life of our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Madinah Munawwara, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first put up Masjid Nabawi, then put up his home. Look, any book of history you will find this. Before he even put up his home, he put up the house of Almighty Allah. After the house of Allah was completed, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put up his own home. That means he gave greater preference to the house of Almighty Allah than his own home. Today our people will spend millions in their own homes, but when it comes to the masjid, they find reluctance to give to the masjid. It is their misfortune. It is not the misfortune of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Really, we have to say this with great sadness. But this is a fact that when we look at the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he first put up the masjid, then he put up his own home. So this, and I also feel that for the masjid to go out for collection for the lights and water utilized in the masjid is an insult to us, the people who are utilizing the masjid. Let me say it again. For the masjid trustees to go out for collection of water and lights is an insult to us, the people who are utilizing the masjid. You are utilizing the masjid. Do you go out for collection for your own lights and water of your own home? You take it as your responsibility, which you give. because I'm using the youth as well. You come to the masjid, you use the water and lights, and you find it difficult to give what you are using. And I think that people who go to a masjid, utilize the facilities of the masjid, and then don't give, they are in some way utilizing and benefiting from the charity of others. Because obviously the water and lights has to be fulfilled by someone. It has to be given by someone. So if you are wealthy, you're utilizing the water and lights of the masjid and you don't give, what does it mean? That means you are utilizing the charity of someone else. I think this is something. Yes, if there are capital expenses, we can understand people can go out for collection. But by and large, if people are affluent, then the running expenses of that masjid must be borne by the people who come on a regular basis. Another aspect with regard to it is that we should always try to look at ways and means of increasing the benefit of our charity. There are many ways of doing this. One is, for example, may I suggest that pray when we give great amount of wealth to people, perhaps people should just look at this aspect of uplifting a family. If there is a poor family within our own relationship first, because Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, if you give charity to your own family, then it is double reward, because you are giving charity and you are helping your relatives. So look at uplifting a family. Perhaps there is no breadwinner in a family. Husband might have died, the widow is alone. She is alone, she becomes vulnerable. And wallah, in vulnerability, many things happen. Some things not very savory also. And we know and we have experience with regard to it. Take a family and uplift a family. If it's within your own relationship or within your own circle of influence or someone you know, maybe perhaps go even broader. Take a indigenous family that you know that are in difficulty. Uplift that whole family. Take care of the educational needs of that particular family, the children, and make them such that maybe they become self-sufficient. Daughter is about to get married, get the child married. Uplift the whole family. Allah, there will be such great satisfaction, I'm sure, if a person has wealth, to see and uplift the whole family. Another aspect with regard to this is that help people who are pious. And in their piety, because of the time that they are spending in work of deed, they cannot find time in looking and searching for a livelihood. Allah has made mention of it in the Quran. لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ. The poor person who is restrained by being in the path of Almighty Allah. أُحْصِرُوا فِي لَا يَسْتَطِيعُ. He does not have the time and the ability to go and search for a livelihood. يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. And the ignorant, they regard him, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ, they regard him to be wealthy because of his independence. تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَهُمْ. But if you search, you will be able to make out from his face. This person is in difficulty. There's an interesting incident that Mufti Mahmud Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to make mention that Sufyan al-Thawri Rahmatullah Alayhi was a very eminent scholar. One of the very great eminent scholars in our history. Some amazing statements are attributed to Sufyan al-Thawri Rahmatullah Alayhi. One of the most amazing that I have read about his statements was that one day Imam Sufyan al-Thawri made mention that if Allah Ta'ala were to turn the heavens and earth into lead and copper. Understand the meaning of this. That means no rain from the sky, nothing to grow from the ground. He say if Allah were to turn the heavens and earth into lead and copper, and after that if Sufyan were to ask Allah, oh Allah, where are you going to provide me with? What are you going to provide me with to eat? Sufyan has committed disbelief and kufr. You see, if Allah were to turn the heavens and earth into lead and copper, and then Sufyan had to ask Allah, where are you going to give me food to eat? I have committed disbelief. So that is the responsibility of Allah to feed us. He has said that وَمَا مِن دَابَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there is no living being but the responsibility of his living with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person one day went to, I think it was Imam Sufyan or maybe another scholar, and said things have become very, very expensive in the marketplaces. So he turned around and said, let the one who provides, let him worry about it. Why should I worry about it? The one who is providing, let him worry about it. But of course, there is a high form of taqwa. Nevertheless, Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayh, Imam Yahya Barmaki used to look after the financial needs of Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayh. And when he looked after the financial needs and the needs of his family, Sufyan al-Thawri used to make dua for him. Oh Allah, the way Yahya has looked after my worldly needs, you look after his needs in the year after. So Yahya Barmaki passed away. Someone saw him in a dream after he had passed away and said, "Oh Yahya, how did Allah treat you?" He said, "Because of Sufyan's dua, Allah Ta'ala has elevated my status. Because of Imam Sufyan Thawri's dua, Allah has elevated my status." So this is also another aspect that we should keep. Also, my dear respected brothers, we should be giving in our own country. You know, while we give in other particular places, and there is a need for us to give in certain times when there is an emergency and there might be a great amount of loss of life and loss of wealth, I think sometimes, you know, it is not fair that we give abroad when there is poverty in our midst. There is a responsibility that we also owe to the people of this country who are poor. We benefit from the resources of this country. We benefit from this aspect. And I think it's just fair that if we benefit from this, we put back into this country. And we put back to the land through which we are benefiting from. I think this is an important aspect that we should also keep in mind. People should also just keep this in mind. And I will just make mention of this before I go to my final aspect, which is etiquettes of giving charity. With regard to waqf, to make certain wealth of yours waqf in the path of Almighty Allah. You know, waqf is such a great institution. You know, and you should not be an aspect that is just for the sake of name and fame. But you know, you look at our history, you'll be amazed at the type of waqf. I was in Turkey, and the brothers who were taking me around, they showed me one building. And when they showed me this building, they said that this building has been made waqf by the owner, that the proceeds of it must go to feed the birds. The proceeds of this must go only to feed the birds. Ibn Jubair was a very famous traveler. His book is recently, was written many years ago. It has recently been translated also into English. He went for Hajj from Spain, came to Egypt, while Egypt came to Mecca, afterwards went to see the Islamic lands and went back to Spain. So he writes about his experience in Damascus. He says one of the most amazing masjids I saw was the Jami Masjid, the Amawi Masjid in Damascus. And he said there was one pillar where day and night people were reading Quran. One person finished, the next person comes. Day and night there were people. And the needs of that people who were reading Quran round that pillar was taken care of a waqf by a donor. The waqf has made a waqf that whoever reads Quran round this pillar, his needs are left to me, but he must read Quran every day. Subhanallah. That is our institution of waqf. Let's take an example. A family which has, Allah has given it wealth, make waqf of a property. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying that people must do that. This is only a suggestion that I'm giving. Take and say that the proceeds of this property must be utilized for the people who cannot afford Hajj. They must go Hajj every year. What a wonderful type of service it would be. So, you know, waqf is an institution that perhaps we have not really looked into very carefully. But it's an important aspect of our charitable system, which has always been part of our deen. Now, lastly, I would just make mention of one or two etiquettes of our charity. It's an integral part of Islamic belief that acts of charity cannot have strings attached. Let me repeat that. It's an integral part of our Islamic belief that acts of charity cannot have strings attached. To this extent, the ulama say that when you give charity to those who are poor and needy, you give it solely out of the love of Almighty Allah. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَىٰ حُبِّهِ. Feed the poor out of the love of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِرًا. And feed the yatim, the orphans, and those who are poor, and those who are in prison. Feed them out, ala hubbihi, out of the love of Almighty Allah. The ulama say that although if you give financial help, it's good for you to have at the back of your mind that perhaps if a person is a non-Muslim, because of my generosity, he would perhaps consider accepting Islam. But that also should not be the niyat when you are helping a person who is poor and needy. Through the means of mu'allafati qulub is a good thing for you to have, but hidayat at the end of the day is in the hands of Almighty Allah. It is good to have that type of objective, but our charity should not be solely for that also. It should be solely for the sake of helping, irrespective of how the recipient treats us. Now, I know that sometimes there is a validity in the claim that people who receive are not grateful. But that is their problem. They would have to bear with that. They would have to answer Allah Ta'ala for that. Your responsibility in giving is to give without any strings attached. If they are ungrateful for that, they would be answerable to Almighty Allah. This is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said that when someone does you any favor, say, Jazakallah, What is the meaning of Jazakallah? It means the person whom you are giving, you are addressing him and telling him that I don't have the means to repay you for the kindness that you have given me or you have showered upon me. May Allah reward you for it. Now that is for the person who receives, it's a different matter. But for the person who gives, he must not expect anything. Because he is giving for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The famous incident, some people have referred it to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, some have referred it to Ibrahim bin Adam, that they used to be in the habit of having someone at their tablecloth at the time of eating. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was known for his generosity. The moment a person come, he used to slaughter an animal because of being generous to the guest. So one day he did not have anyone, so he went to search for someone. He found someone who was in need of food and told him to come and eat and partake of meals. When he took and was about to partake of meals, he said, read Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Take the name of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person said, did you call me for that? I don't believe in Allah. Did you call me to give me food that I must take the name of Allah? I don't want your food. And he walked out. So Allah Ta'ala revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and said, oh Ibrahim, you could not feed him one meal despite him not taking the name of Almighty Allah. I've been feeding him for 80 years despite the fact that he is not believing in me. I'm feeding him all along. So this is an aspect that is always, that's something that we should always keep this in mind. Charity is sometimes not only seen as a generosity on the path of the rich, but is also the right of the poor over our wealth, about which I had said in the beginning, وَفِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. Upon your wealth there is the right of the poor and the needy. Charity must remain pure and totally selfless. Our duty is to help the poor, requiring nothing in return. And we do it solely for the sake of Almighty Allah. We do it solely for the sake of Allah. That is where the concept of the right hand giving without the left hand knowing. Now Allah Ta'ala in the Quran has made mention of a very amazing ayat. إِن تُبْدُوا صَدَقَاتِ فَنَئِمَّهِ. If you give your charity openly, there is also good in that. And sometimes the situation and the circumstances would demand that you give it openly. In certain instances for the Muslim community, the amount of charity that they are working and doing in certain indigenous and in certain poor areas in the country, perhaps there is a need for us to change our focus and to give that openly. So Allah Ta'ala has referred to that already when He revealed the Quran. If you give openly, there is also good. Sometimes there is a good. Sometimes if you are doing it with the intention of encouraging others to follow suit the way you have been generous, it's good. But وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا, but if you conceal it, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It is even better in the eyes of Almighty Allah. It's even better that you give it concealedly. So we've got to keep both. Sometimes this would be applicable, but in general circumstances, to give in a concealed manner is something that is more appreciated by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To give sincerely, Allah Ta'ala says, كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالَهُ رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. That the person who gives with the intention of show, مَالَهُ رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ سَفْوَانِ. What a beautiful example Allah gives. The person who gives charity out of show, his example is like the little bit of mud, like a rock, hard rock, كَمَثَلِ سَفْوَانٍ عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٌ, little bit of sand, فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. Rain comes upon that rock, and because of the rain, that little bit of dust and mud and sand that is there gets wiped clean away from that rock. Allah says that the person who gives charity out of name and fame, that is his example, no reward left for him. What a beautiful example Allah Ta'ala gives. So this is another aspect with regard to charity I must add on this is, charity does not wipe away gunah. Let me repeat this again. Charity does not wipe away the sins that we have committed. In the sense, it doesn't mean that if I have committed whole amount of guna and sin, if I give a check at the time of Ramadan, somehow it will be an expiation for that wrong that I have done. That wrong you still have to rectify it. Ask Allah for tawbah. You know, don't say that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبِلُ إِلَّا. Allah is pure, only Allah accepts only that which is pure. Our charity cannot be given from ill-gotten wealth. Ill-gotten wealth will not bring any benefit to us if we give it out in charity. The way Imam Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah alayhi has made mention, I think it was Imam Sufyan, that to give charity with ill-gotten wealth is like washing dirty clothes with blood. So you've got a dirty clothes, you take blood, you think the thing is going to get clean, it will never get clean, it will get more dirty. So to give charity with ill-gotten wealth is like wiping and washing dirty clothes with blood. You know, and Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi used to say, it is more preferable to me to give one dirham back to its rightful owner than to give 600,000 dirhams in charity. Let me repeat that. It's more better to give one dirham back to its rightful owner than to give 600,000 dirhams in charity. And just to show you this, Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith in his kitab Fazail al-Tijarat has written that a person, when he gives charity with haram, knowing that it is haram, and he expects a reward, then that is akin and close to kufr and disbelief. He further says, if someone gives a poor person charity from haram wealth, and the poor person knows that it is haram wealth, if he doesn't know, it's a different matter. But he knows that it is haram wealth, and he makes dua for the person, may Allah reward you. The poor person has committed or come close to committing disbelief. Charity doesn't wipe away, especially ill-gotten charity, doesn't wipe away our other type. You know, someone feel that, well, we can do whatever we wrong, we'll give charity, and then somehow or the other, all of those things will be made ma'ab by Allah Ta'ala. That is not a correct method of looking at things. And lastly, I would say, Allah Ta'ala in the Holy Quran had said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tubtilu sadaqatikum bil manni wal adha. O you who believe, do not cancel the reward of your charity, bil man, by reminding people about your favors upon them, wal adha, and to taunt them with regard to receiving your charity. La tubtilu. Don't. That means if you do so, all your rewards are gone. The rewards are gone. لا تبتلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. By reminding people about your charity and by reminding them of your favors upon them. Otherwise all. قول معروف ومغفرة خير من صدقة يتبعها أذى. The ayat preceding this, to tell a person nicely you can't help him is better than to help him and then taunt him with regard to receiving your charity. You know, this is an aspect. You know, sometimes we have this situation. We give people charity. We even sometimes feel that they must do certain favors upon you. You give them certain things to do and you expect it to them to do free because you have given them charity. And sometimes you even make mention, Maru zakat khaine tu hamara humbe bole. So you give zakat and you speak in front of me. What type of the situation is this? This is something that is completely against the etiquette. To this extent that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she used to give charity to people, Hazrat Aisha was known for her generosity. She used to tell the person who was taking the charity, go to the poor people. When you give them that, then normally they make dua. Write down the dua that they are making and come and tell me. So that dua that they made for me, I would make the same dua for them. And my charity is solely for the sake of Allah. Not even for the dua that they have made. That is how our people, our predecessors, We're very careful with regard to we don't get any other benefit from our charity. And lastly, I would say, Islam, the giver donates to nourish his own soul and leaves the recipient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And always regard your charity as insignificant no matter how much it is. The ulama have said, the more insignificant a person regards his own virtue, it becomes more credible in the sight of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding and making amal upon this very important part of our deen and many other etiquettes which are related to it, which sometimes we might become neglectful about. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give our make our charity such that is only for the sake of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us the maximum benefit and reward for the charity that we are giving. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us for whatever we are giving. Allah ta'ala elevate our status. Allah ta'ala make us give it in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made mention. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم أغننا بالعلم وزيننا بالحلم وأكرمنا بالتقوى وجملنا بالعافية. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا، إنك أنت السميع العليم. وتب علينا يا مولانا توبة نصوحة، إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.